Just can't get y'all to stop doing that, can I? Thank you. I've got a few housekeeping things I'd like to run through with you this morning that are important to me. For instance, this morning we have some guests with us who have not actually appeared in this form before, but we have Mr. Kevin and Mrs. Noel Winslow back from their honeymoon. Those of you watching Facebook know that Ezra Clark Hendershide arrived Friday morning. And I want to commend you once again. God bless your hearts. Pastor Molina was with us last weekend, Thursday night through Monday afternoon, and reported to me that he had never been received as graciously by any group as he was by us last weekend. So thank you so much for that. I have persuaded him, well, let me say this. I have invited him, and he has consented to do everything he can to return for our Apostolic and Prophetic Infusion Conference coming up in about, 3 weeks? What is today, the 22nd? Just under a month from now, the 16th of next month. And to that end, I'd like to commend, how many of you remember Rhema Pete? How could you forget Rhema Pete? Rhema has been working very, very diligently from Boise, Idaho, with our own Paul LePage in the public relations aspect of internal and external communications for this conference. How many of you have been seeing their work? Just that few? Y'all need to get on your Facebook pages, at least get on ours, then post it, our event, to yours so all your friends can see it. But they're just doing a bang-up job, and I'm very, very pleased with what's happening. So I commend them and those of you who are collaborating with them, because I know there's some others who are playing with technical stuff. We had a great time yesterday, as Jesse mentioned, at his connection group's party. If you weren't there, you missed seeing them do the National Philippine Dance. That was really fun. And I'm glad it wasn't me. When Patty is recovered, I think we're going to start doing dance lessons just so I can get out of my mind the dance of the hippopotami whenever I think about me doing that. All righty, let's see. This will keep for a few moments, so let's get started. It was sometime in the last year, I drove by one of the schools in town, and out on the marquee was this sign: Be nice. I intentionally didn't mention which school. Thank you very much. But my first thought was, what in the world does that mean? Be nice. I checked, and sure enough, it's an adjective. It's not a something. It's a descriptor of a something. But if you don't define the something, what good is the descriptor? Be nice. Let's put that in the yard at the maximum security prison. What does be nice mean? Okay. Maybe had they been nice, they wouldn't be in the yard, right? It's a bit frustrating to me how unwilling we have become as a society to be forthright and definitive, to say what needs to be said, and if somebody's offended by it, then grow some skin. I am tired up to here with having to apologize to everybody about everything you say because somebody's going to be offended by everything. So, be nice. But, being nice simply means being pleasant or agreeable or something is satisfactory. But what is pleasant and agreeable? You know, you take it down to the personal level and they're pleasant because they only punched out one guy today and not five like they did yesterday. They were nicer. So nice doesn't do anything for me. Nice is not a virtue. Nice is not a character trait. But character is incredibly important to any society. Do you realize that? No, you cannot have democracy if your people do not have character. If your people don't have character, you can't hire enough police officers to enforce the law. Religion is very, very important to this culture, reports a Chinaman. He said he had no idea how important religion was to America, because without religion, people are not capable of governing themselves, let alone one another. So when we start talking about an alternative to being nice, there is an actual character trait to which we are challenged to aspire. It's called kindness. Well, how is kindness like nice? Well, kindness is an actual trait that will cause people to say, that's a nice person. They won't recognize necessarily the virtue that's involved in what it means to become a person who is nice. But think about the notion of not being nice. Do you know any not nice people? Are you nice to them? Don't answer that. We'll get to that. But the problem I find in dealing with humans, not, I don't know about you, but I tend to deal with humans. Y'all have any of those in your life? They all have certain characteristics about them. For instance, as those who are spiritual orphans in an orphan culture, we have default positions. Did you hear what the secretary said about her boss? Guess who I saw walking out of a liquor store the other day? It wasn't you. We have this default position that I think we could gracelessly say causes us to tend to dirt. What is the wildest thing you have in your life? I'm giving you a hint. For the tongue cannot be tamed. So what's the wildest thing you have in your life? It's your tongue. Now, you knew that. You went to exterior stuff. We're talking about the interior problems. No man can tame the tongue because it is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Makes you want to just cut that thing right out, doesn't it? Life and death is in the... A whisperer separates chief friends. This thing we haul around in our mouth is problematic. For with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Aren't you glad you came? We may have to take a vow of silence for the rest of our lives following today's message. Or perhaps we can start to consider what actually flows out of you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. How is that possible? Because this metaphor refers to what the Holy Spirit is capable of doing once we invite His activity into our natural circumstances. I maintain that it is the intention of the Holy Spirit to cause us to be conformed to the image of Christ, who says, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." That it's His intention that we become an expression of the Father. And this we know some things about. Luke says, love your enemies. Is that difficult? Absolutely it's difficult. Because you feel like your enemies are attacking you and your value system and what you represent. There are people on this earth who can increase my blood pressure simply because they are on this earth. And I am opposed to my last breath to everything they represent. And if I'm not careful, I will allow them to produce in me things I don't want to see in me. And so from time to time, the Lord will give me a politician just to see where I am. Give me a fundamentalist pastor railing against everything I hold dear, assaulting the life I've had in Christ all these years and the revelation he gives me, just coming against it like I am some kind of demon from hell. These people are a blessing from God. I call them a pop quiz. Don't you love pop quizzes? Good morning, class. We're going to have a pop quiz. And what was the response? Exactly right. I knew you knew. But you see, a pop quiz has a particular purpose. It's to expose to you what is in you. Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. For what purpose? To see if he would sin? Or rather, to put on display what he had already become. You know, I've learned that when the Lord puts us in these circumstances, He's doing it so we can see something to either A, be affirmed, or B, be open to correction. Now, love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High because He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Because He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil persons. Why? Exactly. It is the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. How many of you have ever disobeyed some authority figure and braced yourself to take the consequences because you were unrepentant for what you did? Okay. So you get it. Okay, both hands. All right.
That was really naughty.
So you understand what it means to be prepared to take the punishment for what you did that you enjoyed. But what you're never prepared for is the fact that you don't get punished for it. God has not given any of us what we deserve. Because He Himself shows kindness. And when you consider the fact that for some divinely appointed reason, He has put ungrateful and evil people within your sphere of influence, it's not for you to protect yourself from them. It's for you to represent Him to them. To show them kindness when they don't deserve it. Because that's exactly what you received. So to become like the Father requires a certain adjustment of our mindset and our natural reactions to those you'd really like to see run over by a bus. Or some lesser form of wanting to get even with them for what they've done. But not only do we have to deal with ungrateful and evil men, we have to deal with believers. How many of you know some believers you just have difficulty believing they're believers? Yes, okay. Do any of you have a small scar on either of your arms from a polio vaccination years ago? Okay. And I bet you haven't thought about that scar or that polio vaccination for years, right? That's the way Christianity is for a lot of people. They get the shot, they're not going to hell, they go on with their life, and they just kind of figure at the end it's going to work because they said the magic words. Believers are not necessarily followers of Jesus. Christianity does not mean that you have a relationship with God. These are categories of folks.
But if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you've got to deal with the others, the other followers of Jesus and the other believers.
I believe.
That's one word in the South. B-L-I-E-V-E. I believe. And in it, you have the same requirement to be kind to one another. Now, we're going to talk about some acts of kindness here in a minute, but I want you to know something. There's a big difference between being kind to somebody with an act of kindness and the higher standard that comes next. Be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Emotionally empathetic with that Christian. Thank you. Yeah, okay. I was going to say village idiot, but that would be a that would be an insult to village idiots. Forgiving each other. Have you ever had to forgive a believer? Are there some you still need to forgive? Why? Because forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Now, somebody should rewrite To Dream the Impossible Dream and do something along the lines of To Live the Impossible Life. Because being a follower of Jesus is an impossible life. You can't go out and decide to do this unless there's a motivational change inside you. Okay? Emulating Christianity is not the same as being transformed into being a follower of Jesus. And then we have these behavior modification things, which is all they are if you don't have a motivational change. But the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. This Lord's bondservant was quarrelsome because I was right. And I knew I was right. And I would argue with you about how right I was. One of the things the baptism of the Holy Spirit did for me was help me understand I didn't know anything the way I don't know it. But when you run in a closed loop, you get the idea that you know it all. Because you have committed yourself to knowing it all. And what do we call people who know it all? Exactly right. And they're really difficult to live with. These know-it-alls. Must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all and able to teach and patient when wronged. How difficult is it to be patient when you're wronged in high school? Quite difficult. It's called the chest-bumping years, where the adrenaline and testosterone run high and wisdom is some far behind. One of the reasons we need to deal transgenerationally is because teenagers have not yet understood. They don't yet know it all. But they live in a very well-defined world. I'm right, you're wrong. Yep, I've been a teenager 5 times already, and it don't get any easier. Patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Now, when you put that on a seesaw and start moving that scripture back and forth, you begin to appreciate at a very different cognitive level how important it is that you be committed to these things, because these things impact others who have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. And until somebody lives the alternative, they may never see the difference. Well, let's try another approach. older women. Now, you all know what an older woman is. It's somebody older than your woman. Right? Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children and to be sensible and pure and workers at home and kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. See, all of these things have a weight. How many of you young ladies would actually enjoy having, or at least knowing, an older woman who is reverent in her behavior? Not a malicious gossip, not a drunkard, capable of teaching you good things and encouraging you. How many of you younger women would like to have a lady like that? Both of you, that's great. That's just, man, I'm so encouraged. I feel like we could just quit right now and go home. So that the word of God will not be dishonored. See, nothing that the Scripture asks of us is impossible in the Holy Spirit, and everything about it has consequence. Because we represent someone bigger than ourselves who has a vested interest in these evil and indifferent people. And he puts his poster in their sphere, and that poster's got you in the middle of it. Because we deal with eternal things. Peter says, to sum it up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. How many of you have played the insult for insult game? Where I grew up, it was called sarcasm. Okay? And sarcasm was a culture I grew up in. Whatever you said had a little beep right on the end of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Two little sidebars here. Ben Benici was the pastor of this congregation when Patty and I arrived here in 1977. And he said to us, we've got this couple in the church you're going to really, really love, Brian and Marilyn Dickerson. And we had not met them. They had not met us. And Ben had said to them, we've got this new family in the church you're really going to love, Lanny and Patty Clark. So we finally got together over at the Dickerson's house. And Marilyn and I fell into sarcasm. And it got so bad after, 20, 30 minutes, I said, excuse me, we have to leave. And so we got up and left. Went outside, closed the door behind us. They're just sitting there. And I knocked on the door and said, could we come in and start over? Because I'm not going to live in that, okay? We need to be those who are speaking edifying things to one another, encouraging one another, as God in Christ has encouraged us. My favorite aunt, my mother's identical twin, died, and I went down to Houston, Texas for the funeral. My son Paul was at whatever that training place is down there, Corpus Christi. We rendezvoused, and several of the family members came in. It was getting really, really late one night, and my younger sister stood up and said, okay, y'all, I'm so tired, I just got to go to bed, but please don't talk about me when I leave the room. Because she understands the culture. Okay. And many people live in this kind of environment. So when you do an act of kindness, you're kind of like, whoa. Mark Twain said, I can go for many months on one act of kindness. And it's just not the culture. People are always biting and devouring one another. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. I remember being in a home that had hosted us for the evening. And at that particular time, I was learning the power of the blessing. And so I spoke peace upon the home the homeowners, their family members, in Jesus' name. And they just kind of were just startled. Clearly, they were startled. And then they gathered themselves. Thank you. We received that. Because people just don't think about going around speaking blessing, you know? But For by these things he granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become, the process of becoming partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you haven't caught on, kindness is a good thing. You know, Robert and I were discussing the theme of kindness for this month, and I was very, very encouraged and challenged by her message 2 weeks ago. But as I got to thinking about kindness, that what in the world is kindness? And, you know, in some situations it might be called good manners. I have an international friend who visited the United States, having declared to me on several occasions prior to visiting here that she was never interested in moving to the United States. Because people over there, they know us by the television programs. And it's very unflattering. We send the worst we have in media, and that nails us as a people. Okay. But she came here, and after her second visit, she said to me, you know, if I was ever going to move anywhere, I'd move to America because the people here are nice. And as I began to say, okay, what does nice mean? What she meant was we're civil to one another. We open doors and we say thank you and we greet one another. That's not typical of where she lives. But they have not been raised in a free society. Everyone goes first ahead of everyone. Okay? So for her to come here and be treated with civility, she considered that nice and is part of our culture, much of which we're losing. But I got to thinking, you know, occasionally you'll hear things like random acts of kindness. Okay? So I went out on the World Wide Web. And I found a site devoted to kindness. And here are some acts of kindness. You ready? These are just things that you can do. Even if you're not a nice person, you can fake this. Nice people don't want to fake it. They're just not nice. But take a look at some of these things. And I'll put the website up there for you. But help someone load or unload their groceries. I regularly do that when I see an older person in the parking lot trying to get, you know, that case of water out of there, that kind of stuff. And they're usually thankful. Complain less. You know, if you add one more minute this week to your day of not complaining and work on that for a month, you might go a whole half an hour without saying anything nasty. Wouldn't that be a goal? How about giving directions to someone who's lost and not those kind that you know is going to get them in trouble, all right? I've visited those places. Pick flowers for someone, and it probably ought not be out of your neighbor's garden. But arrive on time. Let's skip right over that one. Yeah. Say something nice about someone. And, you know, you might have to practice. I remember reading the little one-liner about this guy who was trying to be nice. He said to her, he said, you know, for a fat girl, you sure don't sweat much. Now, it probably will require a little bit of refinement to come to the place where compliments are just, you know, you actually, everybody is made in the image of God. So if you look hard enough, there's some God thing there someplace. You notice I got really big feet, size 13, 14, 15. You know, it looks like you've got a good foundation for your life. You might have to strain for a while just to get into the mode. All right? Share your umbrella. I'm usually outside the umbrella because I don't carry one of those golf ones, but I'm helping them get to the car. I'd rather me be wet than them. Leave some change in the vending machine. How many have ever found a nickel or a dime or a quarter in the vending machine? What'd you think? Wonder if they poisoned it. If I touch it, will I die? No, you're grateful for that. Be polite on the road. When I moved to California, the very first time, many decades ago, I was astonished at the drivers there because they were courteous. They'd slow down, they'd let you in. Then we came to the East Coast. You get my point. Forward an email coupon. Compliment someone. I sat on there twice. Oh, say something nice and then compliment someone. Talk with the sales clerk. You know, when you don't, they are just landscape people. You don't really notice them. You can't remember what they look like. You don't know a thing about them. I engage them. I will go into the bank more often than I'll go through the drive-thru just because I want to engage the human being. Okay. Stop negative conversations. How do you stop a negative conversation? It's very simple. I'm sorry. I can't be a part of this conversation. Y'all go ahead. And just walk away. Now, they might think you're snooty, but that is bitter water fixing to come into your perspective on whoever it is they're talking about. Okay? So let them talk about you. You know how to grow skin and deal with it. Because if we actually represent the Lord's interest, then there's suddenly a contrast. But if everybody sticks their head in to hear the latest gossip, there's no contrast. Share a snack. You could say, better your lips than my hips. Here, have this. Share a toy or a game. Let someone go in front of you. You know, some of you are old enough to remember the Dagwood comics. I remember this one where Blondie is saying, here comes their grumpy neighbor, Mr. whatever his name is. He said, let him go first. So Dagwood opens the door. The grumpy neighbor walks in and wins something like $1 million for being the millionth customer or something like that. Have a pure heart. Give the benefit of the doubt. This is very important. Okay, how many times have you been misunderstood? Okay. You know, in the earlier years, back before I was whatever measure of refined I am today, I was a bit more, I think, blunt, direct, authoritative, black and white, whatever the phrase is that serves you. And routinely, Brian would have to say, no, that's not what he meant. I know his heart. Does anybody know you well enough to be able to explain what was misunderstood? If not, get in a connection group. Jesse, can I get an amen? Okay. Amen. All right. Give affirmation. What does that mean? You're awesome. Well, what if they're not awesome? I meant to say awful. You're awful. No. Affirmation is noticing and affirming that which has value. Okay? For instance, I knew early on, just because not only the Scripture does it, but it was the way I was raised in the South, that you took care of stuff. Now, I think there's one on here that says, put a shopping cart back where you got it. I have to, because I hear my grandmother going, put that back where it belongs. Which is different from the stand-up comedian who hears her mother, in her mind, when she walks into a singles bar, she hears her mother say, don't pick that up, you don't know where it's been. It'd work better in a different audience. But give affirmation. You know, I got to the place where I quit doing simple things that were obvious. Like you walk in the door and there's a piece of paper laying on the floor, right there. I would just step over it and watch to see who picked it up and then go thank them. You understand what I'm saying? Give people an opportunity to do or show you something that you can affirm. Like when your child shares their toy. Can you affirm that? When you pass by somebody walking to work because you've got to go to church to teach on kindness, and you turn around and go pick them up. Can you affirm that? You get the message, don't you? Give someone a hug. I had a young man walk up to me this morning and said, "Are you in charge of this place?" Well, some people would say so, yes. He says, "Okay, so you're the one that likes to hug, right?" I said, "Where'd you hear that?" He said, "Well, that's what they say about you." Well, that's a good reputation. I like that. Return lost belongings to the owner. I am amazed how frequently, well, frequently is too strong a word. When those moments occur that I have an opportunity to grab something and run take it to somebody because I saw them walk away without it, frequently they're surprised that I would return it. You know? Because they expect to be ripped off. The smile at five strangers. Now, I recommend you smile at five strangers who are not all seated together. Or they think you're weird. But as you drive or as you walk, just pick one and smile at them, you know. Otherwise, we had this gal here, dear friend of mine. She called it beaming. But if you do it long enough, they call you special. You want this job, huh? Let's see you get up here and do it, okay? Or ask if you can help. Ask if you can help. If there's one thing my wife has taught me, is to ask if I can help. Because rattling the ice cubes in the empty glass do not work at my house. Except when she does it and I jump up. Buy a dessert for a stranger. I like doing that. You know, sometimes I'll just say to them, "Give me the ticket for that table over there." You know, anonymously. Just pick a table and hope it wasn't 9 orders of filet mignon with lobster. Maybe you're going to walk through the restaurant and say, "Oh, they had pasta, I can do that." But, you know, and then just get out of there. Because that moment stays with them a long time. You know what I'm saying? And I save this one for last. Be kind to someone you dislike. Because that's the challenge in it. You know, the ones you dislike have a genuine need for the Lord. And it's unlikely they're going to come to church. Most likely, you're going to be the epistle they read. You. Now, I realize these things seem almost impossible. We can pretend some of this stuff. But I have this basic notion that the Holy Spirit comes in to change you. There are two promises that I want to bring to your attention. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says this, "Love is patient, love is..." See, you know it. Because love has a component of kindness in it that has to be exercised and developed to flow freely. Do you know some kind people? How many of you can remember Julia Alvey? That woman was as pure in spirit of kindness of any human being I have ever met. She never thought ill of anyone except me. I'm not sure what always set her off. It would sound like this: "Lanny Clark, if I was your mother, I would paddle your behind." But Julia was just a treasure in the earth and a wonderful, wonderful woman of grace and elegance. And I miss her to this day. But she was kindness. And then the other promise we have is in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. See, we have the love of God now as our nature, and we have the Spirit working on our character. So these things are not impossible. I was with a man this week, had to put a brace on one leg because he's moving all of his furniture from one location in this town to another location in this town. And he's taking the month of March to do it. When I found out, and he's not a part of our congregation, he's a part of another congregation. And so I asked him, well, where are all those brothers at the men's breakfast who tell you they love you? He said, well, they're all busy. So here he is moving entire two floors, four bedrooms, something like that, worth of furniture, by himself with a brace on his leg. This, however, is common at our Father's house. To our Father's house, thank you for your generosity. To me, it's a gift like a sweet perfume, a sweet fragrant offering, pleasing unto the Lord that came from your loving hearts. These gifts were a great influence on my family to witness the favor of God toward us. Your united prayers covered me. This kind of prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and restore them to health. My prayer for all is that your gifts be added unto your heavenly accounts and manifest here on the earth. Thanks for your love and kindness. I was able to have a speedy recovery. God bless you. Angela Clackett. Now, I don't want you to think for a moment that I am not aware that there are acts of kindness that take place at our Father's house routinely. But when Luke records a much shorter version of the Beatitudes, he asks this question. If you only greet those who greet you, then what is that? What good is that to you? If you only love those who love you back, where is the value in that? But love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Why? Because you are the epistle of God written and on display in their lives. You have 2 more weeks to decide which evil and unlikable person you're going to invite to Easter service. 2 more weeks to do acts of kindness that will mess with their heads. Can you be nice for 2 weeks? All right, never mind. Can you be nice for 20 hours in 2 weeks? 2 hours? Could I get a 15-minute? Thank you. Somebody's going to be nice for 15 minutes. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Awaken to your assignment. Each of you are deployed someplace. Be somebody special in that place. Would you stand? Let's see now. We've got guests out to the left in the hospitality room, and in 10 minutes we've got a plugged-in class up in my office. What else is going on today? What? FPU at noon. Financial Peace University at noon. All right. Father, thank you for the challenge of the Word. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you for the activity of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for a people who are willing to be transformed into your image. I pray, Lord, that as we raise our antenna and pay attention, you'll show us where we can do an act of kindness that actually matters to someone in that moment. And let us begin to share these stories, Lord, of how you set us up, how we responded, what we hope you did. I speak blessing upon this house and ask for you, Lord, to to move us forward in the transformation into the image of Jesus collectively, so that this town knows there's a place where the people love God. To that end, I say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.